Now it's time for the rural news with Monique Steele, and Red Meat Cooperative Alliance is asking its farmers to help it raise capital.
Yes, another blow to farmers' balance sheets. Meat Processor Alliance has started deducting a slice of its farmer shareholders' livestock proceeds to raise share capital in the face of significant financial pressures. Alliance Group reported a $70 million loss in the year to September, a serious dive on the year before's $73.6 million profit. Now, the board has approved increasing the number of shares needed to be held per livestock unit processed, and farmers will also face an extra $3 per livestock unit at the works, effective immediately. Its group chair, Mark Wynn, says Alliance has been working through contacting its 4,500 farmer shareholders about the changes after first flagging the capital raise at its AGM last year. Mr. Wynn says despite expecting a modest profit this year, it still needs the help of its shareholders to continue being a 100% farmer-owned co-op without having to rely on debt funding.
Both of these are designed to address the balance sheet at Alliance. But I should also highlight we're very, very aware that farmers are doing it tough out there, and this is not a great time to be doing it. Probably never a great time to ask for money from shareholders, but this is a particularly bad one. But our current desire and strong desire is to remain 100% farmer owned.
He said it could lose some farmers in the process, but it's still too early to tell.
We're up for the farmers to decide. So obviously they will have options. They will either send their stock to Alliance and continue to share up, or we believe a small percentage, and truly hope it is only a very small percentage, may decide to send stock elsewhere. So the honest answer is we don't know, and we won't know for a few months.
Mark Wynn says the co-op needs around $100 to $150 million over the next 2 to 3 years to restore the balance sheet, but that won't come solely from the farmer shareholder contributions. The chief executive of Beef and Lamb New Zealand and the New Zealand Meat Board, Sam McIver, has resigned and is taking up another leadership role in the primary sector. He's been chief executive for the past 8 years and with the organisation for a total of 17 years. Mr. McIver says it's been an honour working with the organisation for almost half his working career. His last day will be on the 24th of July. A charity that rehomes wild horses says it's hopeful contraception will help control the growing wild herd around the Kaimanawa mountain ranges in the central North Island. The Kaimanawa heritage horses and a raft of musterers delivered 88 wild horses to their new homes over the weekend following Thursday and Friday's muster. The Department of Conservation helps manage the control program and was aiming to remove 230 horses this year. The Kaimanawa Heritage Horses Chair, Carolyn Haig, says it's become more difficult finding homes for the horses.
Much planning has gone into this over the last few years, but we introduced a contraception program that has been proven overseas in 2022, where the mares are given a contraception. The initial effects are not seen for a couple of years when we hopefully notice a decrease in the foals. We are very hopeful that it will help because there is a limited number of homes out there for the Kaimanawas since they've been rehomed since 2005. It's part of our plan for the management of the herd.
Carolyn Haig says the horses will need follow-up contraception annually. Meanwhile, the future of the remaining horses is still to be officially announced, but the charity said on its Facebook page it's been advised none are going to slaughter. Environment Southland says its farmers are now managing winter grazing systems so well that the practice almost doesn't need a specific regulation. The government's proposing to scrap or alter a range of consent requirements under a revamped Resource Management Act, with one of them being intensive winter grazing rules. The practice has been widely criticised in recent years, with social media posts showing cattle wallowing knee-deep in muddy paddocks. The Regional Council Chairman, Nicole Horrell, says with good education, the region's farmers have made dramatic improvements in how they feed cattle on grass or crops in winter, but he says practices will still be monitored under the council's water and land plan rules.
So we will actually ratify our own plan in the next couple of weeks. So our local rule will stand. So no, if there's change in national direction, that's fine. We'll have a rule that people are probably reasonably comfortable with in Southland. And I've never seen the farming industry move as quickly as they have. And that came down to really good education. It wasn't, there was always a bottom line of a possible penalty, but it was really education that has got us here.
Nicole Horrell says he's interested to see the detail of the government's proposed changes to the RMA reform. And lastly, growers are being urged to think creatively about where crops, even exotic ones, could thrive with the secrets to success found in the soil. The New Zealand Tree Crops Association represents a range of industry folk, from scientists to farmers and orchardists who can grow fruit or nuts, animal fodder and other crops. It held its annual conference recently, covering a range of topics including growing exotics, Matauranga Māori growing, regenerative farming, and an update on guava moth. President of its management committee, Waikato citrus grower David White, says field trips to an indigenous mushroom farm and Whangarei's Linwood avocado nursery showcased that growers were really thinking outside the box with their crops. He says growers should feel encouraged about what's possible.
You can grow more stuff in your area than you thought possible. You just got to match the land to the trees and it's all good. One of the field trips we briefly visited the Whangarei Quarry Gardens, and they actually had a very healthy patch of bananas, which I thought was really unusual because, of course, the Quarry Gardens are almost directly on rocks. So there's not much topsoil at all. And here they were doing their thing in a really warm spot. So they placed them strategically against a cliff. So, they had the warmth, but yeah, I was like, wow.
That's David White, and that's the Rural News for today. Ko ia rā te porongo o te taiwhenua.